for homeowners all across America, trembling maybe a little bit behind the walls of their financial stockade. You might say Obama brought out the cavalry yesterday.
If we act boldly and swiftly to arrest this downward spiral, then every American will benefit.
Every American? Well, that would mean you, Pamela Zombeck, right?
Yes.
So you're every American in the sense that you're a struggling homeowner and could conceivably benefit from the Obama plan. Did you hear anything yesterday?
We read through the guidelines and we're very interested to know more.
And who do you reach out to find out if you can get connected to this plan that was unveiled yesterday?
We've been working with a legal service out of California who's been negotiating on our behalf. So they've gathered all the accurate paperwork and have submitted things to our banks.
Quickly, you are in Salem, Massachusetts, right?
Correct.
And this is your home, correct?
Yes, it is.
And how long have you lived there?
2 years, 2.5 years.
And, you know, a lot of the names that have been used for homeowners over the last year or so during this crisis as it's deepened, you know, speculators, people trying to flip homes. Are you one of those folks?
We don't. No, we're single. This is our primary residence. We don't own any other property.
All right, hold on, Pamela Zombeck, because I'm going to introduce you to Alvin Hall, who, of course, is our dear friend, takeaway contributor, a financial advisor. He's right here in the studio. Alvin, you know, Pamela Zombeck is not every American, but she certainly is an American, a homeowner,
yes,
who Obama presumably was trying to reach. But the homeowner crisis, the housing crisis, the property crisis in America is sort of twofold. It involves homeowners who need security.
Exactly.
But it also involves the price of this asset called land and property in America, the demand for which needs to increase for prices to stabilize and Americans broadly to feel more secure. Let's tackle the first one first.
Okay.
Homeowners. Did Barack Obama help a broad swath of people who are worried about insecurity yesterday?
For those people who live in their homes, it is their primary resident. This does offer some hope, provided their property isn't deep underwater. So if you live in your house and your mortgage is qualified for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and you have the income to support that house, then you can refinance. That's really important. You must have the income to be able to support that mortgage to be able to refinance. So there's a little formula they put into place. If the value of your home, take the value of your home, multiply it times 105%. If your loan is less than that, equal to or less than that, then you're eligible for refinancing. So, Pamela, you here?
Yes, I am.
Yes. What is the amount of your loan at the moment?
The amount of our loan is $286,000.
$286,000. So,
mm-hmm.
I think, what is the value of your property? Give me an estimate at the moment.
Well, that's not, we're thinking it's around $300,000 to $325,000. Zillow has things much lower, but from what we see in our area, we think that we're in the $300,000, $325,000.
Pamela, what's Zillow?
Zillow is an online appraisal. It takes into account a lot of different factors, and they tend to be way under market, but some people use them as a reference to what your home is worth.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay. So if we take Zillow, let's start out with the worst-case scenario, and they say your house is worth $270,000. You multiply that times 105, you come out with a number of $283,000. So
okay,
that means that you don't qualify under Zillow's estimate by $3,000.
Ouch.
It's quite amazing. However, if we use your low number, which is $300,000, and multiply that times 105%, we come out with $315,000. With a $286,000 mortgage, you do qualify. So
okay,
everything with you will depend very much upon whether or not the evaluation of your house comes out correctly. And then you'll be able to lock in a fixed-rate mortgage, which is exactly what you need. Because your mortgage rate right now is about how much?
9.5% and 11%.
Oh,
wow.
My God. Oh, yes. I think we're all grabbing for our nitroglycerin pills here.
Yeah, Pamela, this is for Rai Chidea. And those are practically credit card rates. I mean, how did you get into a loan that gave you such unfavorable rates compared to so many other homeowners?
We started out at 7.44%, and that was the lender, they wouldn't give us anything but 100% financing. We had decent credit. We didn't have perfect credit, and we had money to put down. They wouldn't accept those terms.
They wouldn't accept your money down?
No.
This is so strange.
Well, but this is an indication of the unusual circumstances, the unusual terms that over the last 2 years have characterized all kinds of homeowner financing arrangements. Pamela, we're going to step back for a moment. Stay with us.
Sure.
Alvin, you know, there's the other side to this.
Yes.
And that is if the only people who bought and sold houses in America were people who are in their primary residences, I mean, I'm no economist, but I think it's the case that prices and values for homes and property in America would crash through the floor. The demand for property is, in some sense, a result of speculators, of people who have three and four homes or who buy homes in large tracts, correct?
I agree with you. But historically, the price rise of homes kept pace with the increase in income. So 7-8% a year was pretty normal, 5 sometimes. But what happened in the last couple of years, people bought into this idea that they could actually buy multiple properties and then live off of the income from those properties solely. In the past, people might have done that, but they would put down payments on each of the properties that they bought, or they would wait until they built up enough leverage in the original property and use that. But today, as soon as it went up a little over 20%, people were pulling money out of it and using it to buy new properties.
Well, that's not Pamela's situation
here.
And finally, you know, we've got a few minutes here, but I want to just get the sort of basic survey out of the way. I mean, on some level, this is a write-off for thousands of Americans who don't have an income, who are underwater on their properties, and are defaulted on their mortgages. This bill, this program from the Obama administration basically says, we got nothing for you.
We got absolutely nothing because they don't have the income to support the properties. They've already gotten so far down the road to foreclosure, they're just wiping it out. So literally, they're going back to being renters. Even if you live in a house that is underwater and you do not meet the 105% requirement, you cannot refinance your property. You cannot. So therefore, you virtually become a renter in a house that you're living in.
So the community's full of abandoned homes in places like Las Vegas, in suburban California, in Detroit, in Cleveland that we discussed yesterday. Nothing for
them. Nothing at all. Yeah, it's a sad situation because I think that the previous administration let this problem run on too long. So now we're running in after the properties have been abandoned. How do you bring those people back? How do you rebuild those properties? You literally can't. You can't rewrite history at this point. I also think, one last point, that the administration has tend to focus on this in a more traditional way. They view primary home ownership as a way of saving. So that's the way it was thought of for years. But now people think of owning a second home as a way of speculating in the market, right? They are saying if you speculate in the market, then you, unlike Lehman Brothers or any of these other organizations, AIG, you as an individual, you're not too big to fail.
Oh, that's interesting.
Alvin, this is a quick one because, you know, I don't want to get you too far off track. Mm-hmm. Any last word about what we can look for first-time home buyers?
I think first-time home buyers, if they save diligently and get a great down payment together, they will be able to pick up some great properties. But what they don't need to do is to rush in and feel they have to do it now. You should look around and remember those old rules about location, location, location. Buy the best property you can and no longer feel the need to buy that McMansion so that you are overextended.
All right. Well, Pamela, then is it conceivable? Can you see on the horizon the possibility that if you can hold and stay in your home for the next couple of years, that prices may stabilize and that your community, financially speaking, will improve?
Oh, absolutely.
And
I'm an optimist with all this. I truly am.
Now, what's going to make the difference for you? Is it getting a new job? Is it other people in the community going back to work? Is it people not defaulting in the streets next to yours?
I think the employment is a huge factor right now. I'm a meeting and event planner, so me working anytime soon is probably not realistic. But I think that anyone that I talk with that's unemployed, and I know a lot of unemployed people right now, it's the job situation. I think once the jobs that gets under control, having people not leave their homes, I mean, everything kind of will balance out.
All right. Well, you're a leading indicator. Pamela Zombeck, if you start getting calls for events, let us know, because it means things are starting to turn around. Pamela Zombeck is a homeowner in Salem, Massachusetts, struggling like millions of Americans to figure out if the federal government is going to help them. And, of course, Alvin Hall, takeaway contributor here in our studio. Thanks, Alvin.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.